Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Brought to you today by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have served the Valley for decades, finding their customers the right insurance, the best price. And if there's ever a claim, they go to work as if it happened to them, because customer service means everything to the good people, and they are really good people at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Be joined by one of our new broadcast partners, Matt McGloin, in a moment. But first, Todd Callis of the Astros Network with our play-by-play call of the day.
Ground ball to third. Toro is there. His throw in time. Justin Verlander. Another exclamation point in a Hall of Fame career. His third career no-hitter. One of six in the history of the game with three or more, and his second here at the Rogers Center.
Yeah, but you know what? This was a little different. Imagine that dugout in the ninth inning. It's nothing, nothing. Right? Normally, they're staying away from the guy throwing the no-hitter. They're all looking at each other saying, we better score for this dude. We better do something. They finally did a two-run homer, and the Astros ended up winning the game 2-0, and Verlander did complete the no-hitter as part of his Hall of Fame career. NFL career lasted 6 years after a fabulous Penn State career, and then joined us on Saturday and showed us that he's got Hall of Fame potential working with us on the sideline. Matt McGloin. Hello, Matt. Great to have you with us.
Actually trying to get a hold of Matt as we speak.
You're killing us. You're just killing us. Decided today to kill us.
I know.
It's a big, big introduction.
It was awesome. Yep, you had that plan. You wrote that this morning as soon as you sprung right out of bed this morning. You had that
I ad-libbed it. I ad-libbed it, but I'm reading the chart here. I went through all the stuff in order as to how you wrote it down. Right? Listen, you're the guy who tries to get the suit.
I know.
To be on the round table.
I know. I thought it'd be my most difficult get for the whole week.
Look, you're just gonna have to come through here.
I know. Right? See, Matt's in demand now.
Okay. I'm the play-by-play guy in the network. In demand? I can help him more than other people can.
Yes, you can. He knows that, too.
He's in demand?
Yeah.
I know he has a podcast. I know he's got some big... He'll end up with some big BTN stuff out of this before it's all said and done. All right, keep dialing. I'll ad-lib until you got him. All
okay.
Right. I just keep dying.
Like the show has more of an organic feel to it.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I feel like I'm surrounded by compost at the moment. Thank you very much. I'm back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Don't forget to tip your waitress. Yeah. I thought that was good.
That was great. That was like me last Friday. You're picking up where I left off last Friday.
I'll tell you have had two of the best lines ever on this show. Right. And part of it was that the shock value that you're the one that said it.
I'm like, you never know. You never know what'll happen.
I feel like I've worn off on you in a bad way. All right. Get out your cell phone.
All right. We'll call him back.
Yeah. All right. So the opening weekend is what I always refer to as the overreaction weekend. Now, most weekends in college football are the overreaction weekend. Most weekends are. Yeah. Oh, that's it. I'm looking at the Legend of Bo Nix. I watched, I don't know, half the game, the second half of the game. Even the winning drive, he was okay. Now, he throws the touchdown pass. Was that the greatest throw ever? No. But he played like a freshman. And I think that he made a couple of really nice plays. The Legend of Bo Nix. Legend of what? Play some more games. We're just so, especially the current generation of broadcaster, is so intent on telling you this is the greatest era because they want to be telling you it's the greatest era because they're involved. Please. It's all right. The guy got, in his first game, got a great, great win. He struggled most of the night, to be honest with you. He only hit 42% of his passes. All right, let's get to Baird in Sealands Grove. Hello, Baird. How are you today? It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Ryan. I'm doing well. This isn't a question as much as a comment.
Sure.
I think that, in my opinion, the best play of the day was not anybody that had done anything with the football, but rather Justin Shorter running out of nowhere at deer-like speed to insert himself between Devin Ford, who was getting ready to score a touchdown, and his close pursuer. Never touched the guy. My concern was, oh, my God, there's going to be a block in the back. But and it was incredibly unselfish, just football acumen like you expect out of a Penn State player and all. But to see it unfold like that was just amazing.
In fact, when I was on Sirius XM this morning, I talked specifically about that play. To me, the three best plays in the game, besides Stout kicking it to Belfont, the three best plays I could think of was, I think it was the first series of the game, Jan Johnson made a great play at linebacker to stop a first down.
Absolutely.
The Clifford play I talked about where he kept his head out, I thought that was his best throw of the day, his best play of the day. And that play you talked about, because I talked about that specifically, because you're right, Baird, everybody's going to concentrate on the 81 yards. And he got, first of all, the speed to get there, and then to shield, use himself as a shield with his back. He did get in front of him. He did contact him, but he contacted him with his back. And you're right. That was a great play by Shorter.
Thank you.
Great play. Y'all, no, thank you. Great point. Yeah, he was right about that. All right. Did you finally get him?
We got him. Matt's right here.
Well, it took you long enough to get him.
I know. Well, thankfully, Baird bailed. He bailed me out a little bit, so thank you to Baird.
Matty Ice, here he is. Great to have you with us. Matt McGloin, who did a brilliant job for us on Saturday. Matt, first of all, welcome to the team. Jack and I loved having you. I hope you had a great time on the sideline and that we gave you enough room to operate.
Well, I appreciate it, and I guess I did a half-decent job if you're calling me today.
You did more than a half-decent job. You did a great job. I want to go, when we had Sean Clifford on the post game, we talked about getting into the game, because he has not started a game since November of 2016 in high school.
Yeah.
Did you see, and you were on the sideline too, he said after the second series, some guys talked to him, gathered with him. How important was that expression of, hey, just settle down, we got your back here?
Yeah, it is, because I feel like when at times when you do get in there, you know, and especially your first start, it's like you do feel some type of added pressure to try to do things that you're not comfortable doing. Like maybe you're making throws that you wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable making, or you're forcing reads, or you're just flat out overthinking. And I think maybe that's what Sean was doing early on in that game. And sometimes all it takes is for one of your guys and your teammates, and they're not just your teammates, they're your friends, to say, hey, listen, man, you know, just settle down a little bit. We got your back. You know, we know you're the guy and you're capable of getting the job done for us. So just go out there, play your game, do your job. We'll do our job. And that's going to be good enough to win today. And I think once you know, he had that type of encouragement. He was able to settle in, and, you know, we all saw the Sean Clifford that I think we were expecting to see.
Look, I mean, this is something you experienced in high school, you experienced in college, and you experienced it with the Raiders as well. So what's it like at each level? Because at each level, the speed gets greater. What's it like to settle into the speed, even though you do have confidence in your own ability?
Yeah, for me, Steve, it was kind of like I wasn't necessarily worried about the speed of the game itself. I was more concerned with the speed of my own guys on game day, because everybody has a different speed. You know, when it's a noon kickoff on Saturday afternoon, or if you're talking the NFL and it's a, you know, 3:30 kickoff, there's guys that are gamers, there's guys that show up and they're just so much better than they were in practice. And then there's other guys that, you know, it takes them a catch to settle in, or it takes them a run to start feeling good. So for me, it was always about figuring out who those guys were and adjusting to their speed. Like, I know this guy runs great go routes. I know this guy runs great slant routes, blah, 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 and so forth. So I think, you know, adjusting to the speed of the game at a collegiate level and the NFL level is just as important as understanding that, you know, on game day, everybody's got different speed, and it's your job as a quarterback to figure that out.
Boy, I want to ask you about that, because you and I both know that there are guys that are gamers. All right, well, I love the gamers because the gamers play the game really well. But during the week, you can see it's just, hey, I'll give you a great example of a guy who was exactly the same in practice as he was in the game, Bobby Engram. Engram was the exact same guy in practice as he was in the game. That's why it made it easy for Kerry Collins. It's the same guy. How tough is it for you where you know he's a gamer, but in practice, he just doesn't give you the same look, so you've got a different way of throwing the ball to him in practice?
Well, for a guy like me, it was always frustrating because, I mean, I never had the luxury of being able to phone it in. I always had to give 110% every single day, so you knew what you were getting out of me for practice, that that's what you were going to get on Saturdays or Sundays. But guys that are so talented, you know, they do tend to take routes off during practice, and they do tend to kind of go through the motions, but you have to trust and know that come Saturday, this guy's going to show up and he's going to deliver for his football team. And you figure that out by talking with the guy, communicating the guy, just getting a sense of how he plays the game. And I mean, man, sometimes it is hard, you know, but heck, man, that's why, you know, those are your teammates, and you got to trust your teammates, you know, to the best state that you can. But no, like you said, man, it's always interesting to see who the gamers are, and you know, that's always fun to watch. Yeah.
Okay. One of the keys, and you were really good at this. Pre-snap is so important, and you were fabulous pre-snap. Could you sense? Because one of the keys for you is you got to read the safety, right?
Sure.
Safety gives away a lot of things. Out there. Could you sense that Sean was picking up on that, and as the game went, that part became easier?
I think he was settling in, and I think some of the easiest things that we do as quarterbacks is that we forget our pre-snap routine. And I know that's crazy to say, because, I mean that's part of playing quarterback. You know, you break the huddle. Okay, my guys are going here. This guy's lined up correctly. Okay, let's go. Where are my safeties? And we talked about this before, Steve. You're looking split safety, post safety zone. Where's my rotation here? What's my front? And something I learned later in my career is that so many fronts dictate coverage as well. So I think Sean will get to that point where he goes up. He's like, okay, they're in base or they're in nickel. Here's, you know, their high percentage coverages when they're in base or when they're in nickel. And boom, 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 recognize it. Okay, let's go play football. So I think, at least it seemed like at times he's not there. He just got away. He got away from his pre-snap routine, you know. And I think he understood that as the game went on. We talked about his own teammates communicating with him, and I mean, it's so important. I mean, to find your routine and find something that you're comfortable with. And I mean, it is hard. It is hard to do, but I think he's the type of guy that, and having the opportunity to talk with him after the game on the live post-game show, it seems like he's aware of the mistakes he's made, and he's eager and he's hungry to correct them, which is a great thing to see, especially, you know, for how talented that guy could be.
What's it like talking with him quarterback to quarterback? What do you sense about him in the answers that he gives you that tells you that as a quarterback to quarterback, he gets it.
But he wants to learn. And that's just from having one conversation with him, you can tell that he wants to be good. I mean, he wants to be a good, good football player. And I mean, what's that old saying? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. You know, I mean, he wants it. He wants to be good. And he's doing everything he can to take that next step. You know, we didn't even, I mean, we were talking about some of the great things that he did. He just kept bringing up some of the mistakes that he made, you know? And, I mean, that right there, I mean, you never remember the touchdowns or the completions that you threw. You remember the interceptions. You remember the mistakes that you made. And, you know, they you get frustrated with them and you get upset over it. And that's what always motivated me. And it seems like he's kind of the same way, where he's a grinder and he wants to get better every day and he embraces the challenge. And, you know, he wants to prove to himself that he can be better next week and he can be better the following week. So, and that's from a young guy, which I don't think you see that often.
Yeah, because I know whenever I talked to you when you played, you know, I'd bring up something and you'd list me, I made six mistakes in the game, and you'd tick off the six mistakes. Like, okay, because that stuck out to you. I mean, I wouldn't doubt that the first thing you went back was look at the film right away at those six plays, then you watch the rest of the game.
And I think, you know, that's something that quarterbacks fall into, is like we chase perfection, and you're never going to get perfection. And, you know, I think we understand it, but it's like I still want it, and I'm still doing everything I can to get there. And that's what keeps you going, man. That's what makes you show up every day and grind and work hard and want to be better. That's what keeps you in the film room, you know, constantly critiquing yourself to want to get better. And Sean Clifford has that. And, you know, I think that's why the support from his team is so strong and the support from that staff is so strong. And I think now we saw a glimpse of it as fans week one, and I think we're going to continue to see it as this season goes on. And, you know, I mean, you can hear my voice. I'm excited about it, man, because when you get a quarterback that's as talented as he is, that wants to work as hard as he wants to work, I mean, that's a complete package.
All right, well, one thing that's interesting about having somebody in the sideline, Jack and I are up top, and we're looking at it from that bird's eye view. So we're looking at it from the all-22 point of view. You're on the sideline. There's been a lot of talk about Penn State's speed on both sides of the ball. On the sideline, which I think is the best view of it, how evident was it to you?
I was extremely impressed with that front seven. I mean, those guys were smothering Idaho's offense. Like, they were on, like, the ball was snapped, they're on top of them. And it's just so quick. It forces you as a quarterback to speed up your process and to put you in an uncomfortable position. Like, I can't get through my progression. I can't get settled in. I can't get comfortable. And I mean, they're only rushing like four or five guys at a time. It's not like they're dialing up cover zero or they're dialing up these exotic packages. You know, and when you're able to do that as a defense, that doesn't leave your secondary vulnerable. You know, it doesn't leave guys on an island. And when you're able to do that, those guys play with so much more confidence. So, I mean, they've got a really, really good thing going now. I was so impressed with the talent in the secondary. And again, it was from top to bottom. You know, from guys like Wade, Castro Fields, to, you know, Ellis, to Joey Porter Jr. I mean, there didn't seem like there was any decrease in production. And, I mean, that is a scary, scary thing for teams to see on film.
Let's get to the skill guys. What did you think of the running backs and the wideouts that worked around Levis and Clifford?
I couldn't believe that Kane and Ford were freshmen. You know, that's like something obviously you know going in, but when you watch the two of them run the football, it's like these guys can't be playing for the first time. It was so impressive. I mean, the running backs do what they were able to do, it makes your offense that much bigger, in a sense that, you know, we can do so many things. We can open up play action pass. We can open up the screen game. I mean, the possibilities are limitless now, you know, and just from 1 week of putting that on film, that you have running backs that are so talented. So, I mean, it helps Clifford out. I mean, and on top of that, I think it'd be unfair of us to not have mentioned the job that offensive line did on Saturday. I mean, I don't think there was much pressure at all in the way they blocked for those running backs. I mean, I watched Rasheed Walker for most of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy didn't look like a freshman either. So it's so impressive to see. It's fantastic to see that those guys are buying into what James Franklin and Ricky Ronnie are trying to do in the offense. Really impressive.
Well, Jack and I were impressed by the job you did Saturday. You were fabulous. Thanks so much for that, and we look forward to many more with you.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Hey, Matt McGloin. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, presented by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve will check in just a bit from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors,
oh,
Ford,
I'm
Lincoln,
stop
Hyundai.
Panicking.
Hey, no, not panicking. Oh, it's a good time.
You and the other guy, that's all you do is panic.
No. I was setting up a plug for the podcast.
Plug for the podcast.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody who have subscribed. Numbers have been very healthy the last week or so. So, hit that little subscribe. If you're listening to us through the podcast, thank you for downloading. But if you haven't subscribed, please do so on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Google Play. Just hit that subscribe button after you search Steve Jones Show. Then you don't have to search for the shows. We just drop them right into your mobile device, and you're good to go.
Yeah, we always hear in the staff meeting how important the streaming numbers are.
Yeah.
Did I get the accent just right?
Yes.
Streaming.
We be streaming.
Wow. All right. Each team needs its own kind of start to a season. Let me explain that. There are certain teams, for example, where you just know right away you've got something, and you don't mind getting out of the gate and getting going. So let's take next year, for example, in 20. Sean Clifford's a redshirt junior. Say Sean goes all the way through. Penn State will open the season in 21 at Wisconsin. Well, at that point, if he stays all the way through, he's a senior, fifth-year player. I think you'd feel pretty confident going into a game like that to open the season on the road. Or maybe at that point it's Will Levis, whatever the circumstances may be. But when you have a young team, when you have a young team, and this is a very young team, this schedule fits them. You get the Idaho game, you're the prohibitive favorite, you work out some of the kinks. You got to be better in third down. Have to be better in third down. You're 1 of 8 in third down. So that has to be better. But it's more to it than that. You also want to be great on other downs, too. I mean, my goodness, Penn State had, what, 600? What else? I'll have to look this up here. Penn State total offense in the game was 1.2 billion yards, right? Something like that. It was a big number.
Like 673, something like that?
673 yards. But I can take it deeper than that, though.
Yeah.
So you get 673 yards. Your running backs run for better than 300. Your quarterbacks run for better than 300. And, yeah, they were 1 for 8 on third down. But to get there, you've got to be good on the other downs. And especially, I'm really big on first down. I think first down sets the tone for this whole thing. And Penn State got 73% of its offense on first down. 73%. I mean, that's impressive. I mean, they were just getting chunks and chunks of yardage on first down, where you're not getting the third down. Penn State played 72 plays in the game, and only 64 plays weren't third down plays. Penn State had, I've got it here, 492 yards on first down. 492. You're not going to get into a lot of third downs. Just not. Now, you do need to be good on third down. I mean, as James says, he wants to be 48%. Okay, that's an important number. But when you're getting 492 yards on first down, you aren't getting a lot of third down chances. Now, this is all expected. Hey, we are in a time right now where everything is blowing out of control. There's so much national media now covering college sports that nobody wants to take it a week at a time. I mean, there are already bowl projections out today. Bowl projections? Really? How about November 1st? Bowl projections.
I was shot close to a week ago. I don't know what channel of ESPN it was, and they were doing, it was either a 30 or a 60-minute Heisman preview. It's like, what? It's no offense to the guys that were on the broadcast set, but it's like, yeah. Okay. Well,
look, somebody comes up with an idea, they have to do it.
Yeah. And all the, and so many people now that are crowning Jalen Hurts as the Heisman Trophy winner for, let's I mean one game,
let's see.
Come on.
Clemson's won the national championship. Georgia's in the playoff. Alabama's in the playoff. Oklahoma's in the playoff. Jalen Hurts has won the Heisman Trophy. Bo Nix is now a legend. Let's see. Well, so Tennessee is just, that's it. They're cooked and fried. USC, JT Daniels out for the year. They're cooked and fried. They might not be far off in Tennessee and USC, though. No, I'm just kidding.
Although the Nick story out of Auburn was pretty cool. You know, his dad's a former Auburn quarterback,
yeah.
And he's, you know, Auburn only was in, led the game for 9 seconds, but it was the last 9 seconds of the game that counts, and that was a cool story.
Yeah, it's a cool story, but do you know what he completed for the game? 42%.
Yeah, that's not good.
Right? No offense, not legendary. That's freshman-like. He's playing against a good defense. I thought he did a great job of hanging in there. He took his shots. He kept getting up. He made that key run, which was really good judgment. I mean, key run, good judgment. And he also did a very good job of taking advantage of what Oregon gave them. Tell me why Oregon gave them the sideline. They gave it to him on the last drive, handed it to him. Big cushion, boom, quick out, throw it. Okay. The throw in the touchdown pass is an okay throw. It's not a great throw. Receiver made a really, really good play. And it's an okay throw. But I've been hearing the legend of Bo Nix. The legend of what? Legend of what? Talk to me in a month. Talk to me at the Iron Bowl. Alabama's swarming. I mean, he's not doing well. He's not so legendary anymore. Just let somebody naturally grow up. We don't let people naturally grow up. He's a legend. I don't need hype. I don't need hype. We've had week one. So in week one, Missouri loses. South Carolina loses. Tennessee loses. Now, do we think any less of the SEC? No, I don't. I think the SEC is really good, but again, I don't consider the SEC and never have awesome and incredible. Pac-12, I didn't think was all that terrific to begin with. I think Oklahoma and Texas are the two worthy teams in the Big 12. Big 10's got depth. ACC has no depth. They've got Clemson and then nobody else. As you know, I picked Boise State to beat Florida State. I didn't care. I knew that they were better. Florida State's offensive line is not very good. Boise State's front seven is very good. That's why I picked Boise to win the game. I don't care. Now Miami losing its opener to Florida. Right. I thought Miami's defense in the opener in week zero played very, very well. Now that's Manny Diaz, that's his area of expertise. But I thought offensively, they've got a long, long way to go. Long way to go. But the bottom line is, it's week one. Tua throws four touchdown passes. It's Duke. No offense, I would think he would. When it comes to Oklahoma and Jalen Hurts, let's give credit where credit's due to Lincoln Riley. The understanding of who I now have at quarterback dictates how I want to call the game. And I thought Lincoln Riley did a really good job of looking at what Jalen Hurts does, and he did a very good job of taking advantage of what Jalen Hurts does. That was really good. But there's just a long, long way to go. Now, the one you feel bad for is USC. You don't want to see a guy get hurt and lost for the year. JT Daniels looks like he's a talented young quarterback. So you don't want to see that happen. I didn't see the Tennessee thing. I guess if you live in Knoxville, you didn't want to see it either. Because Georgia State beat them. I'm trying to think of, in the Big Ten, did anybody? Minnesota had to rally to beat South Dakota State. Rutgers rallied and beat UMass. That was before the weekend.
Well, Nevada, though, beating Purdue.
Yeah, Purdue had a big lead in that game. And Nevada came back, and then they kicked a 53-yard field goal. Maybe it was 56. On the last play of the game to win. Penn State, by the way, opens with Nevada next year, you know. At Beaver Stadium. You better believe in the pregame press conference next year that James will bring up how they beat Purdue. Okay, so just so you know. Florida Atlantic wasn't good last year. They weren't good Saturday. Although I'll say this, I was talking to James Laurinaitis. We're talking, watching the game. We're the only two there standing there watching the game for a period of time. And James said, first couple drives, he looked great. He says, but, man, he has taken a couple of shots in this game. It's because I've said, I think Ohio State's offensive line is good, not great. Now we'll see how everybody does with a game under their belt. Wisconsin looked good in their win. Iowa won big, right? I think. Maryland went big. They beat Howard. Rutgers beat Howard last year. So that just gives you a gauge.
Yeah, but who would have thought, though, two teams in the Big Ten with not one, but two teams putting up 79 points?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's perspective. It's week one.
Right. Now, Josh Jackson, transfer from Virginia Tech, he's now the starting quarterback at Maryland. That does give them a boost. And let's see how the next couple weeks goes. There's too much overreaction in week one. Trying to draw conclusions. Let's draw conclusions in November. I will realize that we do. I think it's fair to do a week-by-week report card on how your team's doing. Did they get better? Did they get worse? That's fair. But after 1 week, I realize you had to fill time. I mean, I was on SiriusXM this morning, and all their questions were fair and perspective questions about, hey, you know, how this went, how that went, and so forth. There was no pie in the sky discussion about, oh my good look, wow. But I think what we got to watch on Saturday was Sean Clifford throws a great ball, and he had a chance to display that. Will Levis, for the first time in Beaver Stadium against somebody else, got a chance to display how tough he is and how well he throws the ball. You got to see Penn State's speed on defense on display. You had, in that game on Saturday, 24 guys that played their first ever game. You look at that by the numbers. Penn State, I believe, had 72 guys play in their opening game. I've got the numbers here. And I told you about the plays already. That in that game on Saturday, Rasheed Walker had 58 plays. Dez Holmes, Mike Miranda, and C.J. Thorpe were the only other three that had more than 50 plays. And John Reed led the defense with 29. So, 9 Nittany Lions made their first career start. 5 on offense, 3 on defense, 1 on special teams. Special teams was Chris Stoll. Stoll, the long snapper, did a good job. Jesse Lucchetta, Shaka, Tony Lamont, Wade on defense. Rasheed Walker, C.J. Thorpe, Justin Shorter, Ricky Slade, Sean Clifford on offense. 12 Nittany Lions made their first collegiate appearances. Or excuse me, I apologize. 20 Nittany Lions made their first collegiate appearance. So first ever collegiate appearance for D.J. Brown, Noah Kane, Judge Culpepper, Lance Dixon, Keaton Ellis, Devin Ford, Aeneas Hawkins, Adisa Isaac, Charlie Catcher, Hunter Kelly, Will Levis, Colton Maxwell, Justin Neff, Joey Porter Jr., Brandon Smith, Chris Stoll, Brenton Strange, Dan Vasey, Sal Wormley, and Caden Wallace. Transfers Jaquan Brisker, Weston Carr, and Jordan Stout made their first Penn State appearances. And 10 true freshmen played. Noah Kane, Lance Dixon, Keaton Ellis, Devin Ford, Adisa Isaac, Joey Porter Jr., Brandon Smith, Brenton Strange, Sal Wormley, and Caden Wallace. Expect Caden Wallace to play more and more as the season goes. He stays healthy. He is a full go for every game. Okay? He's already on the field goal and extra point unit. But that's how young they are. To have that many guys make their first collegiate appearance, plus 3 other new players. So you're talking about 23 of the 72 guys were on the field for Penn State for the first time ever. In fact, yeah. So, yeah. So you're talking about 23 guys made their first ever Penn State appearance out of 72 that played. Yeah, it's a third. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
It's your family's best friend. It has four pegs. Always there for you when needed, and you just love it. It's your GE appliance. No need to walk it every day or play fetch. Your GE appliance is truly as dedicated as your favorite pet. We need reliable appliances to help us get things done every day. That's why Peter's Home Appliance Center in downtown Sunbury has been selling GE for over 50 years. Buying a new appliance is like starting a new relationship. You depend on them to be there when you need them. Peter sells only the best products from names like GE. Well-built and energy-efficient GE front-load washers and dryers, French door and side-by-side GE refrigerators, dual fuel ranges and gas ranges, microwaves too. GE appliances make life better. And if your appliance decides to play dead, Peter's services what they sell too. So come see the GE appliance experts at Peter's Home Appliance Center, Market Street in Sunbury, Peter's Home Appliance and General Electric, your family's best friend.
Howdy there, neighbor. Why are you staring at that tree?
I think it's dead.
I think it's been dead for about 6 months now.
Huh? But why didn't you say anything?
The best neighbors stay quiet on others' matters of the lawn.
When you put it that way, it sounds like getting rid of this tree is going to be a real hassle.
Not at all. Just head over to Bear Rental and pick up a chainsaw, a stump grinder, and a bed edger.
I don't think all that will fit in the bed of my truck.
No worries. You can also rent a trailer while you're there.
Sounds easy enough. Will you be around later if I need help?
Nope. I was planning on quality time in the pool.
That pool will feel even more refreshing after some nice yard work with me, don't you think?
My unicorn floaty is calling.
Home or commercial projects, Bear Rental, a division of Zartman Construction, has the tools you need. Why buy a tool for just one job when you can rent it? Save maintenance costs and space in the garage. Bear Rental, Route 11 between Norrie and Danville on Point Township Drive. Call 570-701-1525. Go to bear-rental.com and like Bear on Facebook.
Problem solved with Bear.
Make yard work less of a chore with a brand new Toro lawnmower during the Toro Red Tag Sale going on now. Take advantage of special end-of-season savings with up to $500 off select models, plus special financing for qualified buyers. Walk or ride, bag or mulch, it's up to you. Just hurry in today and save at participating local Toro dealers. Save on Toro lawnmowers during the Toro Red Tag Sale going on now at Hilly Ridge Sales and Service, Mount Pleasant Mills, or hillyridge.com.
The Penn State Nittany Lions play on WKOK.
Steps up, waits, delivers long and deep. KJ Hamler got it at the 10, inside the 5, first and goal. Nittany Lions, what a throw, what a catch.
Penn State football is sponsored by Sunbury Motor Company, Shave Mountain Winery, W&L Subaru, Turbotville National Bank, Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Truck. This weekend, the Nittany Lions take on the Bulls of Buffalo. Airtime is 6 p.m. Saturday on WKOK.
We've had several requests, by the way, in our Shikalemi promos to hear an extra point. All right. It's just, I just feel it's a strong suit. No?
Speaking of high school football, since the Phillies have a day game on Thursday, we will have our high school football roundtable tomorrow, Wednesday, 3:35.
Yeah. Yes. Looking forward to that. And Zach Showers, Greg Wetzel, and a Shikalemi representative.
Yeah. Not necessarily in that order. Well, maybe.
Well, it depends on how we can fit in the Shikalemi representative.
That's right.
We got to work around one guy all the time. Why?
Yeah, Braves have soccer tomorrow, so Chief will be handling that responsibility
to the best. But he's the analyst. I mean, you want the big guy job. You got to do the big guy job.
Sometimes it requires some heavy lifting. You know, got to throw those key innings when the team needs you the most. We know that feeling. We just do what we do. That's how we roll.
Look, I like him to throw an inning.
One out at a time. No.
Just one. I mean, we're into week three. He hasn't even faced a batter yet. You know I'm right.
Week three, and we're just after Labor Day.
You want to sit there, and he wants us to promote all the time that he's a big award winner and how everybody carried him out of the room and all that stuff. With the award in tow and the whole thing. But when it comes time to helping us, it's just no shot. It just can't be about one guy, don't you think?
And since, Pocono's not hosting an IndyCar race next year, now with August, he can focus more on football now in the summer.
I was hoping he'd focus on sales. I mean, I just want to see him make one.
Balance. It's all about balance.
Okay. Admittedly, making one would be out of balance.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.